Loyal listeners, if you are interested in an ad-free version of this podcast, as well as getting some bonus content in the form of a couple posts a week, as well as some bonus podcast content from Shane and I, make sure you head over and support the Patreon at patreon.com/ndtechs and join new patrons Connor H. and Matt A. Thank you all for your continued support.
I'm in favor of execution. Maybe our entire team needs to be executed after tonight.
Since we are the loyal sons, we'll get them on the run, boys. We got them on the run. Yes, we are the loyal sons. We'll get them on the run, boys. We got them on the run.
Hello and welcome to a victory edition of the HLS Recap. I am your host, Ryan Ritter. You can call me ND Tex. And as always, you can subscribe to this podcast over on Spotify, Stitcher, Anchor, wherever you happen to get your podcast feeds at. Make sure to join us over at Discord. Boy, was it spicy tonight over at HurlLoyalSons.com/Discord. And of course, you can also catch The Sims. They will happen every Thursday over on Twitch.tv/HurlLoyalSons. And of course, we are always at our home at HurlLoyalSons.com. And with that said, I bring in former Florida resident Shane. Shane, how you doing?
Oh, man, it's a victory edition, but man, does it feel like a classic fucking Florida team non-victory victory? Like, oh my god,
only what a season is it about opener. This? What is it about the state of Florida that is just full of nightmares? I just don't understand.
It's kind of like you take a little piece of Australia home with you, thinking it'll be fun, and then it just turns out it's like an incredible human attacking predator that you didn't understand or know because it had never been discovered. That's what Florida's like.
I mean, you're not wrong. All right, so we got a lot to talk about in this game. And look, the bottom line, let's get the good out of the way because we're going to, by our nature, we're going to dive into stuff. We're going to tear some things apart. The good news is Notre Dame won this football game in overtime, 41-38. And I mean, let's just dive into how it got to this point, because if you take a look at the box score, you have 18 unanswered points by Florida State, which happened. There's a lot of reasons why it happened, and we'll get into Marcus Freeman and the defense for sure. But just to outline the events that got us to this point, we have a failed roughing the kicker call, which if that wasn't roughing the kicker, I don't know what is. So you got the Notre Dame has ref bullshit and Tallahassee storyline drug all the way back up from 2014 right in your face. And then immediately after that, we hit a quarterback too hard. We hit Jordan Travis too hard, pop off his helmet. And in comes Mackenzie Milton, who just leads Florida State on an absolute comeback. And no lie, Shane, I was not worried one bit this entire game until he took the field. And I'm like, oh, fuck.
Yeah? Okay.
I'm like, the good quarterback might just be in. And look, we know he has like a full reconstructed leg. We didn't know what he was going to look like. That first drive, it was super clear what he looked like. And then, yeah, the panic started to set in for me. I don't know about you, but just a crazy sequence of events. Notre Dame had an 18-point lead. It looked like they were just going to run away with the thing, and it all turned to hell real fast.
Yeah, I mean, I knew when Mackenzie Milton came in, there was going to be the here we fucking go. I even tweeted as much. Here we go with the fucking the narrative storyline writing itself. Someone's going to mention Disney any minute. Boom, it's a Disney storyline. Everyone starts saying it on the guy says it on the broadcast. I'm like, here we go.
Oh, Tessa's broadcasting boner was something fierce. And you could actually hear in OT the deflation when he knew it was going to happen.
But you know what? That's not even the first time you heard it. The first time the deflated Tess came out was immediately as soon as Notre Dame scored on fourth down. That he was immediately like, and Notre Dame, like the home announcer, the guy, the PI, the PR announcer, the PA announcer in the stadium at Florida State. He used the exact same tone as that guy would have. And Notre Dame scored a touchdown, and they're up 7-0. It was like, what the fuck, dude? Like, the game just started. Just because a bunch of your narratives went out the fucking window for the first, I don't know, 15 to 30 minutes of the actual game clock. Like, doesn't mean you need to, like, try any less hard. But motherfucker, the second Mackenzie Milton hit the fucking field, they were like, this man is a fucking hero. This legend has returned to the grass field that abandoned him 2 years ago. The place where he lost use of his lower limbs. He was basically half a fucking man until today. I was like, what is going on, guys? Like, okay, he went 4 for 4. Like, yes, but can we not? Jordan Travis was fucking just fine. He was great. His mobility was, I think, underappreciated. Like, this was no, like, resurrection story. I really didn't get why it was made into such a big deal.
Here's the thing for me in terms of why I started getting worried about Mackenzie Milton, because Jordan Travis, I agree with you. He was fine. But that fine is interesting. He was 9 for 19 for 130 yards, 2 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. Now, where he killed Notre Dame, quote unquote killed, was extending the plays. And this will be a larger topic, is that Notre Dame's pursuit and contain, all the discipline that happened under Clark Lee appears to be out the fucking window right now, because there were a lot of times where Travis was dead to rights and just didn't happen. Now, the good news was when Milton was in those same situations, he was fucked. Like, he was not able to move in the same fashion. Not that he was like a stone statue, he could still run, but not to the level what Travis was able to. Now, what Mackenzie Milton was able to do was to make the quick decisions, make the accurate passes. And that's really the big thing, is Travis was all over the fucking map with passes. So that's why I personally got scared. And I'm like, no, this isn't Nomi Gusta. Yeah. This is not what I wanted right now.
Well, it was that and the fucking, the rah-rah, the crowd losing its mind, almost as if they were all listening to Joe Tess on the headset or something, just being like, yeah, now's the time for us to lose our minds. But yeah, he was definitely much sharper in execution. He had this weird command where, like, the very first, maybe the third completion of his first drive back, there was they were repositioning the football somewhere. I believe they were like doing a review, and he immediately came out like barking at the officials. Like, you could tell Mackenzie Milton had this kind of veteran, I'm not taking any bullshit, Tom Brady-esque energy to him. that, I mean, I understand he wasn't considered, or wasn't, you know, tabbed as the starter for whatever the fuck the reason is. But like, as soon as he came in, you could tell he was like, I belonged here. This was my fucking offense, and I'm about to do what I want to do. He definitely elicited. Once you started seeing him execute, it was like, oh fuck. But like, you know, after the first drive, the heroic return drive of the 4 for 4, and they just score a touchdown. It was just kind of like, I mean, you can just see what they're expecting of him is to not do anything crazy. Even though he wants to run it, they really don't want him to, so they're not trying to. It was kind of like just a surviving advance circumstance for Notre Dame. So there's a part of me that was just like, they've done it so far. You know, if they fuck this up, it's on them, purely.
Yeah, and the hero story, the Disney storyline, which Mrs. Texas right there is like, why the fuck are they saying it? This
story? I love Disney what? What business? What movie?
Mrs. Tex was trying to troll me most of the time because she could see I was getting very agitated as things were progressing and the 18-point lead was starting to be whittled down. And then all of a sudden she started tearing into tests. It's like, what the fuck's he talking about? So, yeah. I mean, that part was fun that we were able to win it and get out of here. But really, the story for me is that Notre Dame clearly, and I mean clearly, outclassed Florida State. In the beginning of this game, and it was to the point to where it didn't look like Florida State was going to gain a fucking positive yard on a drive, because that O-line couldn't block anybody. And then inexplicably, we switched to a three-man front, and Look, I know Marcus Freeman's defense is supposed to be an aggressive type, and we knew we were going to give up some big plays. So when we gave up the big run, I'm like, ah, okay, fine. We took some bad angles. You got us. Get a long touchdown. Oh, okay, that happens. And then they just kept going, and they kept lining down with three down linemen. And what drove me insane is that, look, we have Leafau out with an injury. We also have, and I don't know which of this poor guy's name, Mauiala? I don't know how to pronounce it. Mauiala, there we go. He needs an MRI. He was out, yes. Yeah. And Shane Simon apparently had, like, a shoulder banged up. So you're telling me that the galaxy brain shit that hit your head was, you know what? Let's go ahead and fuck with our depth. Let's run a 3-4 for the rest of the game, or a 3-3-5, whatever the fuck you're doing. And I'm just like, the strength's with the big boys, man. What are you doing?
Yeah, it was distressing enough that Greg McElroy was like, what the fuck, guys? He kept hammering it home. It was, I don't know why he keeps... From maybe the third quarter...
That's what made it worse, was that he kept highlighting it.
He kept calling attention to it. And, like, at first it was like, it felt like, okay, maybe he's just calling attention to this variation that Marcus Freeman keeps employing. But, like you said, it suddenly was like, from this... Almost like, put the second or third quarter on... It was no longer an implementation. It was a full switch.
It was a choice. It was a flat-out choice.
He never went back away from it.
Overtime.
Like the quarters changed. Overtime happened.
Overtime's when he went with four down linemen, and all of a sudden, hey, look at this.
He did it for like two downs, dude.
Yeah. But it's just like, well, no shit. That's what you need to be doing.
Yeah. Somebody must have gotten in his ear and was like, hey, man, like they're saying on the broadcast some shit, and... We up here in the booth have also noticed some shit, and we would like to relay some shit to you, Marcus.
Boy, did the honeymoon crash quick for him or what? I mean, look, I'm not saying like, oh my God, fire Marcus Freeman now, but man, did the shine get knocked off of him real quick.
I think the problem is that everybody is going off of the demand that he... commanded in the coaching carousel market of 2020 to 2021, but the truth is that I don't think anybody really watched a Cincinnati defense perform under Marcus Freeman, because I mean it's not to anyone who has, there's no surprise here, they give up big plays. It's kind of part of the package deal. We're not anywhere near Elko or, you know, certainly not Clark Lees, just shut shit down, keep it clean, keep all the edges sharp, everything, you know, new and shiny at all times, and, you know, and actively destroying avenues for gains. That's not the strategy here. The strategy here is to wreak havoc, to, you know, to employ as much chaos as possible, and essentially force quick decisions that could and ultimately often do cost the offense, like turnovers.
Which did happen in this game. I mean, Notre Dame had multiple takeaways in this game. Kyle Hamilton had two of them. And oh my God, that second interception. Like, why are you throwing it to Kyle, you dummies? Not knowing he was on the opposite end of the field.
Yeah.
And then he busted up a wheel route. One of the most incredible defensive plays I've ever seen. And he went and ripped off his helmet, talked shit, got the 15-yard penalty, and then Notre Dame went and fucking scored like it was no business. And I'm like, all right, it's over now.
He did it from their bench, too.
Exactly. I mean, that's another Mr. Texas moment. It's like, he's just a kid. Why is he talking all this shit? I'm like, that motherfucker can do whatever he wants.
Yeah, if anybody's gonna, he is gonna.
Yeah, he can talk his shit. And, I mean, we were wreaking havoc for a while. And then once we went to that three down lineman, I mean, look, you got to attack. I mean, when they were rushing four, that offensive line couldn't handle it. And it wasn't like running stunts or doing slants. It was just, hey, four down lineman, you rush, we'll drop seven, and it'll be fine. And in that same look, when we would – fake blitz or do some like fire blitzes where you come in, some linebackers would go and the defensive ends would drop. Like, you do all that kind of stuff, It was driving Travis nuts. He couldn't read it whatsoever. Right. He might escape and get a couple yards, but overall, he was not able to do a whole lot of anything. And then once we went to that three-man front, it's like all the warts of exactly what you pointed out, Shane, of things that come with the package, the over-aggressiveness, the, I mean, horrendous, and I mean horrendous over-pursuit angles, and just not having any discipline on the edge. Like, there's a point to where you have that aggressive defense, and but within there, you still got to know your job. You got to know your assignment. So things are going to get cleaned up. It's week one in a new system. I do understand that, but oh my God, did we shoot ourselves in the foot. The defense, I am supremely confident, is not as bad as what they showed out there, because some people were invoking BVG. Nah, man, like, that's a whole other ball game. Like, I've seen enough to where this isn't Kyle Hamilton covering up for mistakes, because that defense was fucking nails in the first quarter.
Yeah, no, it's not. We're not talking BVG at all. There's truly nothing definitive to take away from the first fucking game of a season like 2021, coming off of a season like 2020 was. Under the lights, fucking Sunday night. At FSU, fucking all the emotional weight and
ghost of Bobby storylines. Bowden rising from it. To have a kick go wide left. What a touching salute to Bobby Bowden.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I mean, like, perfection. But, like, you have to understand, like, none of what happened today should give you, like, tremendous pause, I think, yet. Understand that the next opponent is Toledo, and, like, there's going to be, like, a little bit of a lull in competition, and thereby perhaps a false sense of confidence heading into something like the Wisconsin game. And then, you know, depending on how that goes, you need to take this season one at a time and understand that, like, Marcus Freeman is still implementing everything. This is literally his first coached game at Notre Dame. And yeah, they gave up 38 points to Florida State, which on its face sounds like, oh, fuck, man. Like, maybe this situation isn't going to be as enjoyable a ride as we thought. But I think it also just speaks to the fact that, like, everybody is a different team this year. The defensive scheme that we're used to seeing, you know, 14, 17, 21 points max allowed, that shit's, you know, that's in the past. You know, now it's going to be about Jack Cohen having performances that are capable of keeping Notre Dame in games where shit like this is going to happen. You know, if Jack Cohen can go fucking four touchdowns, one interception every game this season, like, I think we'd take that, you know what I'm saying? Like, but at the same time, you can't possibly rely on that all the time. So, like, there's everything's going to get cleaned up as the season progresses. It's just this one was a rough one to start with, because it was just a lot of shock to the system.
Yeah, it was. And look, let's go ahead and give the hat tip to the defense on the positive side, wreaking havoc, making the havoc plays. 8 tackles for loss, 5 sacks. Like, 5 sacks in the game is fucking incredible.
It's a lot.
And you also have 6 QB hurries. So, I mean, Notre Dame is wreaking havoc. You get 3 takeaways. So, yeah, it's going to be different. There's a balance that needs to be had somewhere along the line. And you know, everything we hear about with the defense is that, oh, man, we could just play. We can just play. Well, yeah, you could just play, but at the same time, you got to not fuck up your assignments, which kind of makes me slightly worried about Navy-ish, but I watch them play, and I'm not overly worried because they still seem to have problems running the option themselves. But, I mean, look, they got all-world Kyle Hamilton, and, you know, his only bad play, at least in my opinion, was when he got looked off, and he just wasn't able to keep up because it was running back on Houston Griffith. Poor Houston Griffith got, you know, obliterated on that route. If I know we all love we have the most, you know, games under 20 points, least amount of explosive plays given up. Hey, Alabama didn't score as many points as Florida State did. Look, that's all well and good. I get it. But like Shane said, this is week one. We got a lot of things. And Freeman is going to take some bullets. I guarantee you. I mean, that was not the overall performance that anybody wanted. So hopefully he realizes he kind of fucked up with that three-man front and doesn't do it again. But I swear to God, if I see a three-man front, it's a new five-wide drink. I am going to be pounding every time I see three men down there. Because like I said, that's the strength of the Notre Dame defense, in my opinion, is that defensive line. Don't take your best players off the field. That's my biggest thing with it.
The Notre Dame plays Navy this season, right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
If they do three linemen there, I'm going to fucking walk out the goddamn room.
Yeah, let's just remember this. It should that time come around. Because remember, like the last time that lesson needed to be learned was 2010. So, I'm just saying, like, I don't think Marcus Freeman would dare, you know, put Notre Dame in that position. But, like, it just seems like the obvious thing Florida State was going for was to run the ball, and they did it. They did that shit at will, 260 fucking yards. You know, that's definitely not the standard you're looking to set. So, I mean, hopefully the lesson here is just, you know, don't play to what you're looking for. Play to what you're given, right? Like, play to what's in front of you. So, I mean, yeah, I'm sure, like you said, it's not going to be something that's going to persist as an issue, but the fact of the matter is, like, we shouldn't be having this conversation, frankly.
No, and I think that was the most shocking thing, is that we were all going to jump on Marcus Freeman. I mean, if you had asked me about the things I would have complained about, and like you gave me, like, hey, rank what you thought would be the worst possible situations of what could go wrong. The defense giving up this many yards, giving up this many explosive plays, was not on the list. A little annoyance that we gave up a few explosive plays, maybe. But to the level that happened here, no, not so much. I mean, but still, the defense did. They got the talent, and that's the thing. They have the talent. They should be a lot better than this. So we'll see what happens going forward. Obviously, you know, we're not going to judge an entire season off 1 week, but the evidence that was shown now, slightly concerning. Let's be honest, slightly
for the defense. Let's be clear, for the defense. I am the offense, like, okay. Blew my mind. Let's talk about it.
Loyal listeners, if you ever wanted to get a deeper insight into the Notre Dame football program from somebody that lived it as both a player as well as in the inside of the athletic department, we suggest picking up a copy of If These Walls Could Talk, Stories from Notre Dame Fighting Irish Sideline, Locker Room, and Press Box by none other than Reggie Brooks himself. Reggie will dive into everything from his time playing under Lou Holtz all the way up to the experiences of watching Brian Kelly lead today's Fighting Irish. And we are happy to extend a 25% offer off the book just by going to herloyalsons.com/book. Make sure you use the code WALLSND25, that's WALLSND25, when you make your order. Again, head over to herloyalsons.com/book, use the code WALLSND25, and enjoy a great addition to your Notre Dame football library. And let's start with the positive here. Let's start with Jack Cohn. I would love to hear thoughts on Jack Cohn's performance.
There's nothing managerial about what he was doing. You know, when he was standing in the pocket, you could see his feet maybe move like a half inch from their base position when he stops his drop back. He was just sitting there, digging until the last possible second, and he was hitting Michael Mayer. The dude fucking... Michael Mayer had 120 receiving yards, y'all. 120 for a fucking tight end.
He can't be covered. I mean, and they're splitting him wide this season.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. They're lining his ass up all over the field. And I mean, you know, Jack Cohn was dishing, man. Jack Cohn was doing it at all depths of the field. You know, they actually pushed the ball deep. And, on Kevin Austin's touchdown over the shoulder, when it was almost a 50-yard pass, just seeing someone like Stuart Mandel tweet out, like, wow, these games are so different from every game of the Ian Book era. It's like, yeah, you know, it's actually really, like, a nice, refreshing experience to see, you know, a quarterback for Notre Dame just fucking sling it. Just sling it to the tall, fast receivers on your team and let them beat the shit. Finally healthy. Yeah, and then just let them beat the shit out of some defensive backs, you know, on one-on-one matchups like Kevin Austin, Joe Wilkins. Joe Wilkins' touchdown was such extreme fucking disrespectful man ball when it came down to it.
That was a grown man mossed touchdown.
He was draped in a defender, and he caught it in his lap, and then the defender tried to keep, like, pulling it out of his hands as they went down, and he just snatched it away and, like, held it away as though, like, you know, it was his to begin with, looked at him and just kind of, like, shook his head at him entirely. It was like, no, this is mine. And it's like, it was just such aggressive bullshit, and that's the kind of shit that, like, you just has kind of been lacking. Kyle Hamilton taking his helmet off and on the FSU sideline and stunting on the fucking crowd. Like, that swagger, that attitude that's just like, that I'm going to dominate you when it comes down to it. Like, Jack Cohn, I think, led, you know, I guess engineered the vibe behind that by just being like, I tweeted a picture of him just like stoically sitting on the sideline, like having absolutely no expression on his face. It's like that, just like the vibe of that also translates to the same confidence that, like, you know, a movie star protagonist conveys. It's just like, mm-hmm. I'm steeled. You know, there's nothing that's going to shake me. It was impressive, and I think unexpected, to say the least.
Yeah, and not only that, I mean, like you said, the swagger. Let's not forget the blowing kisses to the crowd celebration after Joe, and it was the plays under review. He's still blowing kisses to the crowd. It's like, I know it's a touchdown. Fuck y'all. I mean, there is a different swagger to this team, and what Jack Cohn was able to, I mean, he was dropping some dimes, man. Like, not every pass is perfect, but he, especially to Austin, who said he can never outthrow me. Well, Cohn knew that. He said, go get it, big boy. He went and got it. Throwing the jump ball at Lyle. There's a lot of differences between Book and Cohn. And I will say, that ball that he threw to Wilkins, I don't think is one that Book would have thrown, because Book was very cautious about what he threw, and he didn't throw that many 50-50 balls. Now, that being said, it was because he didn't have a full, healthy complement of receivers there. But Cohn is, what the fuck were you thinking, Wisconsin? I
mean, yeah, for real? Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm all for the hype that Graham Mertz gives you in terms of, like, your the highest rated ever high school quarterback to commit to Wisconsin, whatever the fuck. But, like, Jack Cohn, like, he took them to a Rose Bowl, and, like, I'm starting to see why. Like, it you know, it doesn't seem like, you know, Wisconsin really ever gets much, but, you know, credit for the running backs doing a lot of the lifting and shit. But, like, dude, this dude can sling, and this dude's got command. You know, like, it's this shit was legit today.
26 for 35. 366 yards, 4 touchdowns, and 4. The lone interception was off a fucking Hail Mary at the end of the half, which honestly shouldn't have happened because Mayer dropped a pass. Like, as good as Mayer was, he still got stuff to clean up. He dropped a crucial first down pass early in the game that killed a drive. He dropped a pass that probably would have led to a door game-winning field goal, so we didn't have to deal with the overtime bullshit. Like, despite all that, he still only missed 9 passes. Like, that, mind-blowing. And he was taking risks. And one thing I loved, and it may drive people crazy because they were used to last season, we got 3rd and short, what do? We just pounded the rock, straightforward. Now we're like, hey, they're expecting us to do that. Let's line up in, like, these heavy set formations, and let's just fucking bomb it to Kevin Austin or Braden Lindsey.
Yeah.
Now, it's not going to work every single time, but God, I love that gambling. And it worked. The first touchdown was on a 4th down attempt.
Kevin Austin was open.
And Mayer was open.
It was such fast and surgical, like, imposition upon a team. Like, they took their time and they got to where they wanted to be. But as soon as it was like a 4th down, it was almost as if, like, before the game started, they were like, okay, everyone, so we're going to do our fucking game plan. We've talked about this all week, whatever. You know exactly what we're going to do. And also, very first 4th down, don't even look at us. Just go for it, okay? Don't even talk to us. Just go for it and do the thing that we talked about. Okay, go. And it's like, before the media, before the team covering the game could even see it happening. The fourth down was executed, boom, touchdown. It was like, okay, all right, well, that was, holy shit. Like, that blew me away. Like, that was one of those confident, that was one of those I feel like Tommy Rees cooked up, like, I want to show what kind of offensive coordinator I am, and then boom, there it is.
Yeah, I mean, it was great. I got actually am most happy with the offense, and it was sloppy. Look, there was a lot of things that could have been worked through, and if we got a big concern right now, it was the fact that Blake Fisher went out immediately, almost, it felt like, in this game. Now, he has a strain. So Brian Kelly said he doesn't think it's an ACL or an MCL type injury that would knock him out for the season. But that sounds like one of those lingering ass injuries that could bite us in the ass here and there. Personally, I hope he's able to take a rest for Toledo so he can get back right, because we will need him. We will absolutely need him going forward. And one of the things I did notice, and I'm just going to say this because I'm just going to throw it out there, and it's not that I'm dogging Zeke Correll. He had a rough-ass game, though, and it was only because of what was on the other side of the field, because Jermaine Johnson was a fucking nightmare, and they were picking on him. They would stunt over to him. They would slant over to him. They knew it's like, we're gonna pick on the undersized guard. We're not going to deal with that big freshman motherfucker. And then when he went out, it was like, oh, now we'll pick on that side.
Now we'll continuously get him.
So, yeah. I'm telling you, get my boy Rocco in there, man. Rocco
Spindler.
Get Rocco in there. It's time to start knocking some fools around with the big meat.
I think Toledo's definitely a good time to, to slang some big beef, you know? And I'm sure they're going to go ahead and give him a couple rotations. Because they're definitely not going to take away from this game that Zeke Correll is like a definite surefire anchor guard for this offensive line this year yet. Like, I wouldn't. Nothing about today gave me anything to say other than that needs to be looked at, because he definitely had a rough go of it, I would say, to put it lightly. And yeah, Blake Fisher going out was obviously concerning, but I think an overabundance of caution is better than anything else that I could possibly have requested of them. So if it's a fucking strain, we'll call it a strain. Cool. Maybe there's a little bit of some tear there, whatever. But like overabundance of caution is preferred in the circumstance. I'd rather see him play for, I don't know, 9 games than 0, you know?
Exactly. And that's one thing I want to put this offensive performance in context, because there were definitely a lot of struggles. But keep in mind, this happened, you're starting a freshman left tackle, and then he went down. And you're starting Zeke Correll, who is an undersized guard, playing in a position that isn't suited to his best talents. And he's still performing admirably, but he was definitely being picked on. And despite that, and even bad snaps, I wasn't expecting that shit to happen. Like, there's some miscommunication. I don't know what the hell went on with a couple snaps, but you had all that going on, and Notre Dame still put together a pretty decent performance, except in the running game. Now, Shane, I pose this question to you, because Notre Dame had a total of 65 rushing yards. We all know the bread and butter of the offense was that rushing attack. Does this performance against FSU make you concerned about the rushing attack for the Irish?
It makes me concerned about the offensive line for the Irish. I mean, I know Jermaine Johnson is definitely a nightmare, but it makes it seem as though the offensive line is still in the stage of getting most of their assignments and all that shit nailed down properly before even getting a good enough push to get enough production. Either that, or, you know, the run game was stifled by the game plan forcing an implementation of running Jack Cohn 3 or 4 different times for literally no fucking gain, for no reason. Maybe
that
they went
was
away
some
from
weird
it.
Shit. And it wasn't misdirection either. It was like straight power runs.
It was straight power runs for half to no yards 3 different times. It was like, I'm not sure why we're insisting on doing this, but I think we can all agree that, you know, the demonstration of, aha, I see he can run, was a no-go, and the Sharks would like to hear your next pitch. You understand? Like, it's not, we're not buying it. Nobody's sitting there looking at, watch out for Jack Cohn's fucking wheels. So, like, I think there was a part, I think there's a part of the running game that suffered, right, from like, just that kind of, like, lulling the offensive game plan altogether. But really the biggest concern is, like, what has the offensive line shown to instill confidence? Because so far, I think it's fair to say that of all the groups, that group walks away with the most remaining question marks still.
Which we expected some of that, especially knowing that you're going to start some youth on the line. And now I'm almost wondering, because BK even said post-game in his press conference, is that we're not here to throw the ball all over the field. We got to run the ball. And that is the identity. And you could tell they were trying, especially when things felt like they were going south. What did Notre Dame lean on? Like, we're going to slow this shit down, and we're going to try to run it down their throat. And it was almost like this big shock when it didn't work. So it's like, what the fuck? Now what do we do? Now we got to throw it, because we have to move the ball. We can't just sit here and run into a brick wall the whole time, which was, you know, the thing that we were so used to seeing last year. So some of that will come with time, obviously. I'm really hoping Blake Fisher isn't out for too long, because that big boy needs to get as much game experience under his belt as possible, because that he is going to be a fucking mauler and a half when he is used to everything. So that's my only concern there, is that now we got to shuffle more parts around. And that's like the thing that sucks about football, is you have like all this hope, all this happiness, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, now we actually had games happen, and oh fuck, now injuries happen. Now what do we do? And it feels like we're almost in that situation. You know, thank God it's only Toledo and then Purdue coming up next, but you still, that line needs time to gel, and they're not going to get that time potentially within the next couple of weeks. So I share your concern, Shane, with the line. Kyren Williams, I think, did admirably. Obviously, he didn't, you know, put up a bunch of yards, but he still showed the same patience. He showed the same strength. He stiff-armed a motherfucker out of his body early in the game.
Yeah, yeah. You see, he exercised that dude.
He did. So there's so much going on to where you could see, I mean, you know the talents there. Florida State, I was actually more impressed than I thought I would be with their defensive line performance. It wasn't the front seven. It was their fucking line. And especially Jermaine Johnson in particular, that had, you know, just impressive showings. But yeah, we got a Tommy Reese, I think, got cute way too often. The flea flicker honestly would have worked had Cone thrown it where he should have, but
yeah,
when you're dominating an opponent, this is a pet peeve of mine. Like, I don't mind trick plays, but when you are clearly, and I mean clearly, outclassing your opponent and you've pantsed them in your first drive, don't fuck around, don't get cute. Just keep doing what you're doing, because the first drive the game plan was, oh, there's that five-star tall motherfucker tight end that nobody can cover. Let's just throw to him continuously. And then it was like, watch this. We're going to flea flicker now. Like, no, come on, man.
Yeah, no, that was definitely unnecessary. And, like, there's really nothing more annoying, perhaps, than, like, terrible clock management than unnecessary bullshit in a football game. I mean, I just feel like sometimes it's like, don't, why stray, like, yes, you don't want to become predictable, but, like, why go away from what's been working, you know? And, I mean, it's stuff like that that, like, I'm sure it was all top to bottom signed off on. It wasn't just Tommy Reese being cute. It was every fucking body choosing to be cute. But, like, at the same time, I think this game also served to maybe shake all that bullshit out of our heads for a bit and be like, we're not here to pretend like we're going to be showing up every opponent. Like, we just got proven that anybody can run us down to the wire and present a bunch of challenges, and we have to overcome bullshit just to get W. So I think hopefully from now on, they'll just stick to shit that works and not, you know, like you said, get cute.
Yeah, it felt like they were trying to make a point in some place. Right? It's like, oh, you didn't think we stretched the ball down the field enough? Watch this, flea flickers. Oh, nobody's going to expect Cone to run. Watch this galaxy brain stuff on third and fucking five. We're going to run Cone. Yeah. Like, what are you doing? Stop fucking around, man.
Stop.
And look, that's probably a young offensive coordinator just trying stuff that in his mind, it sounded like a great idea. And look, if there is any doubt that BK is not fucking calling plays, when all that shit was going on, ESPN would go to the sideline, and BK's got his mic all the way up. I mean, it's not even over his mouth. And it wasn't to the end of his game. You actually saw him talking to the headset, like, trying to get shit under control over what was going on.
Yep.
I mean, just crazy. Just absolutely crazy.
Awesome. I mean, it was just good to get the win at the end of the day, man. Like, honestly, I can't.
It was.
Can't complain.
You won. And like I said, Florida's a hellhole. Well, let's talk about what cropped up in our cold open while we close this out. What was your thought on BK wanting to execute his entire team? and let's get out of the way. It's an old McKay quote because he had all kinds of quips when he was coaching the hapless Bucks back in the NFL. And somebody asked him about what he thought about his team's execution. And he said, "I'm in favor of it." And BK decided to use that line.
Yeah.
And he did. If you go back and listen to the clip at the beginning of the show, he said, "I'm in favor of it," but he felt like he had to explain the joke further.
He did.
And in his presser, his presser was like, "Are you guys crazy? Y'all took that seriously?" And I'm like, "Have you met us, motherfucker? We're insane."
Yeah, he did the classic mistake of knowing the joke, feeling good about making the joke, hearing the opportunity for the joke, and then thinking, "Oh shit, I can finally make the joke." But then he made the joke so readily that I think he thought maybe we didn't quite hear it. So he followed up with an explanation that included maybe we should execute the entire team, which is like, ah, man, you went from, we all knew the reference you were getting at, just give us like a half second longer to get it. You went from there to, oh, you said a fucking headline worthy blurb and now the blogs want you dead. It's like,
I had an Aggie friend text me. It's like, "Oh man, cancel culture is going to come after BK's ass." I'm like, no, like, man,
first of all, where have you been for 11 fucking years?
Exactly. He has said so much off the wall shit. And I'm almost wondering if he decided, "Wait a second, I got it. I'm going to take the heat off of a lot of people right now." Go ahead.
I'm sure, like, you know what? I'm sure he just didn't give a fuck. I'm sure it's just he didn't give a fuck. He was just going to say the joke, and if it didn't work, who gives a fuck?
He really doesn't, because afterwards, when he was talking about what do you got to do for roughing the kicker, he said that, you know, Jack pays all my fines.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Like, fuck this, man. That was roughing the kicker for sure.
Exactly. I mean, we talked about it before that he's so comfortable in his own skin and the job with the security that he has. It was very, very, it was a bad flub. He Tommy Boy to quote, basically.
Yeah.
And if you don't know what I'm talking about, it's the whole line about, you know, you could get a good idea about, you know, the quality of meat by sticking your head up a cow's ass, but wouldn't you rather take the butcher's word for it? And Tommy Boy couldn't fucking, like, get that shit out. He Tommy Boyed the shit out of that quote.
Yeah, yeah. He just overdid it and ruined it. It's okay.
It's fine. It's honestly, it's funny. And I'm like, everybody's going to ask about this question. And now, why was Marcus Freeman lining three people?
Yeah, yeah. How do you feel about giving up 38 points on your new defensive coordinator's debut? How do you feel about going to overtime against the Florida State team that nobody expected this shit to happen from? Like, those would be good questions. But it's like, so do you want to kill everyone that plays for you?
No. I mean, look, it was in poor taste, obviously. Like, you probably shouldn't joke about killing 100 people, but I know what he was going.
It's not even a real joke. That's the thing, is it's not even a real joke. There's absolutely no joke. Like, no joke. He's not joking about killing anybody. He just said, "You said the word." It's literal wordplay. That's it. You said execution. I said, "I think that'd be great." Ha 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 ha. Oh, did no one laugh yet? Let me explain. I think they should be executed. Oh shit, too much. I'm sorry. That's it.
No, wait. Hold on. Executed. I mean the whole fucking team.
Yeah, that's it.
Honestly, like ND Nation, like for everybody on the forums, isn't this what you wanted for BK? You didn't want a pansy ass? I mean, he sat there and he's not happy with the win. Are you not fucking happy now? He's so upset about this, he wants to kill the whole fucking team. Isn't this what you wanted?
That's a Leahy man. Leahy man.
He makes excuses after everything, and he never takes responsibility for anything and lets people get away with it. Now he wants to kill the whole team. You happy now? No, of course you're not. Never happy about fucking anything.
Never be a Notre Dame man. It's fine.
Well, I'm spicy.
I'm just happy we got the win, man.
I am too. And honestly, the bottom line, like, I was actually, and maybe it's just my older age now, but I really think it's because I know Notre Dame has a good football team. I honestly, hand to God, was not worried until I saw Mackenzie Milton come in, because I'm just like, oh, here comes the fuckery. Like,
here comes the magic. Yeah, here comes the stupid nightmare. Sports magic.
Yeah, exactly. And we do have, and we love this stupid sport, but at the bottom line, like, the people that I think really won in this game were the fans that didn't have a fucking rooting interest whatsoever. Like, objectively, this is something that if I sat down and watched on a Sunday night and it was the only college football game on to open the week, I'm like, damn, we got a banger, man. I mean, it's something it's like, we would spend all kinds of time talking about on a podcast.
It's like what Clemson in Georgia could have been, you know, for everybody. Could have been.
It really was.
It just wasn't two top five teams, but it had that fucking feel of like, yo, check out this matchup. Oh, my God. It's like score changed five times. We're in overtime now. Like, that's all the shit you want from two teams playing the only game on fucking TV that day. You know, that at least that they give you something to fucking talk about. And you know, Notre Dame did that at least. I mean, as the Notre Dame fandom, we suffered. But at least, you know, everyone got a national fucking spectacle and got to see Notre Dame come out with a win. That, you know, that's. You know, ultimately, the memory will be, maybe Florida State gave him a hard time, but Notre Dame won. So,
yeah, and Mike Norvell iced his own kicker. Let the record show.
Sure
go
did.
Back, fire up your DVR. When he decided to complain about the fumble slash what I think is intentional grounding, but that's a whole other thing. If you go back and take a look at the kick that happened, fucking drilled it right down the middle. That 50-plus yard kick. And he iced his own kicker on a review, and he fucking missed it.
He missed a 38, then he missed a 37 yarder right afterwards. It's like, oh, okay, cool.
Wide absolutely left. Beautiful. Unbelievable. It was awesome.
I like to think that Bobby Bowden didn't touch this game at all until that second kick. He was just like, hey, everybody, check this out. Click.
Dadgummit! Dadgummit, why fucking left again?
He wasn't even mad. He was sitting in a fucking lazy boy in the sky. He did a little look over to his friends and say, "Hey guys, watch this shit real quick. Hold on." And he does the little wide left and goes, "Dadgummit, right?"
Yeah, and look, there was all kinds of other randomness that happened. There were a couple turnovers Notre Dame could have gotten. I mean, there's so many different ways Notre Dame could have run away with it, and that's one of the things I keep coming back to. Like, look, we made mistakes. You got to clean them up, and obviously you want, especially with the rest of what happened in college football, we'll talk about it on the Patreon exclusive podcast. Let me go ahead and drop that in there, patreon.com/indytechs. We're going to talk about the national picture, but with the way everybody was kind of kicking the ball around in the top 10, like, man, this was the time to try to really be dominant. But look, bottom line is you got to win, and they won. Now you need to try to piece things together and regain that dominance. So a win is a win is a win. I'm not going to ever be mad about a win. Do I have concerns? Absolutely. Let's see if we can't start cleaning this shit up. We got Toledo to beat up on. We got Purdue to beat up on. Don't fuck those up. That's all I'm asking.
Yeah.
Is don't fuck it up. We haven't lost at home in forever, so don't fuck it up.
We have bigger concerns to deal with, like fucking signing up for Peacock in the next week, you know? That there are bigger things to worry about, like adding another streaming service that you're going to watch for 1 week and then drop. It's going to be fun.
So honestly, I've been trying to figure that out, like, of how, because people are like, dude, it's HLS's last season. Just fucking stream it. So I have noticed, just FYI, that if you get banned from Twitch, it ain't just your username. And I can't get banned for Extra Life.
Oh, it's all your stuff.
They ban my IP, man, and I'm not going to VPN craziness.
They will ban your soul.
Yeah, But I wonder what would happen if, I don't know, I have the game up, like, accidentally in the background of my scene back here. It's just kind of there, like, small. I don't know. Maybe we'll figure something out. And at the very least, maybe I'll be on ColorCast again, although that experiment kind of didn't go too well today, mostly because they didn't have the game listed on the app. It was really funny. Like, you would see one person hop in, and then, like, oh, fuck, he's talking about Notre Dame, and then bounce back
out. I'm out. Fuck that. I'm out.
My kids were going crazy, too. That might have been part of it as well. But we'll try it one more time. We'll see how it goes, especially because it's a Peacock game. But yeah, look, free trials. I'm just saying, it's real easy to make up an email. Like, very easy.
So easy.
So now's the time, man.
Just, if you don't just have go. 3 email burners by now that you just use to sign up for shit, then you are living in the 2010s, my dude. You need to get
that's what I use the hurlolsons.com email address for.
I'm not even lying.
A bunch of burner emails that I use on repeat to sign up for nonsense. They just catch all my trash.
All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and wrap it up. Victory is a victory. And Shane and I are going to take a deep breath after this and talk a little bit about the national football scene. Again, patreon.com/endytex for that exclusive content. But until next time, y'all, thank you so much for listening to this wonderful, wonderful show. Make sure you listen to all of them by subscribing over on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you happen to get your podcast feeds at. Make sure to join us in Discord, our live chat channel, or herloyalsons.com/discord. Give us a follow and subscription over at twitch.tv/herloyalsons for all your NCAA simulation needs. Of course, you will always find us at herloyalsons.com. Until next time, y'all, go Irish, beat Rockets, have a good one.